MG, what family would you like to be in? Would you like a rich family or a poor family? What country would you like to live in? That wasn't one of the options given to me prior to birth, because I wasn't then. God was. And when I became, I got the one I got. I'm in a family now. I'm in the family of Christ. Families don't not be families. They could break up. They can go their separate ways. They can never speak to each other again, but they're still in the family. And since God is always faithful, he won't deny me. He can't write me off because it's not in his nature. So, once you are your father's mother, son, or daughter, all right, you will be their son or daughter forever. All people are born physically are not children of God, but all who are born again are children of God, and they are his children forever. Galatians 3:26 simply says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ." Premise 1. John 1:12-13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So who borned us? God borned us. I know it's not good English, but it works. Eternal security continued. Our inheritance lasts forever. Once we believe in Christ, we are not only in the family of God, but we also have an inheritance that cannot be taken away from us. 1 Peter 1:4-5. We have some of the strongest language in the Bible about eternal security right here. I want to read it slowly so I make sure we let it sink in. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. I would like a lot of the things I have to be imperishable, and guess what? Only the spiritual things are not imperishable. Everything else can be taken from me. My health, my wealth, my life. People can sully my name. They can't take my inheritance. Who are protected by the power of God through faith. Not my power, not your power, God's power. And he is omnipotent. Through faith and salvation, ready to be revealed in that last time. I'm sorry, I don't see how you get around eternal security after reading those two verses. But we have several more points to go, so stick with me. Once we believe in Christ, we're members of his body. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now you are Christ's body and individual members of it. Is Christ going to cut up off a hand or a foot, or pluck out an eye? Metanoia is the Greek word. And I hear there's a Greek class going on. Metanoia is translated sometimes God forbid, but a more direct quote would be, may it never be. So, either way, we're not our own body, we are Christ's. Kind of reminds me of the marriage relationship. Funny how God keeps giving us these pictures. We should catch a clue eventually, right? The power of God is adequate to keep us saved. Salvation does not depend on the ability of the believer to hold out or be faithful. We are asked to hold out, but not about our salvation. There's something else there. If this is true, no one could be able to hold true to the end. They say a man who is tortured will eventually break. And let's face it, Satan and his minions, his powers and principalities, have been on this earth since before man. They got to see it all. They got to watch Adam's sin nature all the way down to you and me. Guess what? They know what my weaknesses are. We can be targeted and we will fail. But our failure is not what depends on our salvation. Jude. And I always try to say chapter 1, but it's one chapter anyway, so 25 and 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, God, and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy. Okay. Don't tell anybody. I'm not blameless. In a human standpoint. I have done wrong. I have messed up. I have sinned in many ways. But because I'm in him, that is gone. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, authority, before all time and now and forever. Amen. And we should stop here and move on. Because it is true. Amen, amen, amen. There's nothing about what I do or say that can cause me to be out of salvation. And I can be out of God's will, but I cannot be out of salvation because the salvation is up to God and he's not going to change his mind. Tense used in the Greek text of certain salvation passages prove we're saved forever. Ephesians 2:8. And I'm not going to read it in the notes here. I'm going to skip down. The passive voice states that the new believer receives the action of the verb. We receive it. We don't do it. And the perfect tense states that salvation, being saved, occurred in the past with the results continuing forever. That's that present tense and into the future we're talking about. So, Ephesians 2:8 through 10, for by grace you've been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Beats the heck out of a $20 bill offered earlier. Not as a result of works, so that anyone may boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand, i.e. eternity past, so that we would walk in them. All right. What part of the verse do we actually have any action in? So that we would walk in them. And guess what? We're not supposed to walk alone. We're supposed to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. So, who's really doing the walking? Holy Spirit's putting our foot in front of another in the spiritual life. So, I got to say, there's not a whole lot I have to do with that verse except accept it and enjoy it. And that's why I said earlier that we should be very happy in our eternal security in the here and now. When we believe in Christ, we're sealed. Going back to the envelope example, by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Okay, so we've got evidence of the promise and the actions conducted. So, going back to the judge thing that I gave earlier, if the guy suddenly changed his mind and said yes to the pardon, what choice would the judge have but to let him out? We've said yes. We're in him. We've got that freedom with the Holy Spirit. Let's use it well. Christ died only once, and you can be saved only once. The truth is stated in Hebrews 6:6 and refers to fellowship. You have to go back to verse 4 in Hebrews 6 to get the context of the sentence to be clear. The believer is saved with an eternal salvation. Periodic restoration to fellowship is necessary. Going back to that diagram, the one revocable one, 1 John 1:9. So let's go ahead and read those verses. I put 5 in for continuity. For in the case of those who once been enlightened and tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made partakers in the Holy Spirit, i.e. you are saved. Holy Spirit indwells you, filling you at the time of salvation. And have tasted the good work of God and the powers of the age to come, they have fallen away it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they again crucify themselves to the Son of God and put him in open shame. What is that saying? I can lose my salvation and never get it back? No. It has to do with the fellowship. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, restored to fellowship, filled with the Holy Spirit, back in state. You never lost your salvation, you lost your fellowship. That's simple. That's what those verses are talking about. They've been taken out of context many times by very well-meaning but very misguided individuals. All right. Last point on eternal security before we try to start wrapping this up a little bit. The term fallen from grace means a loss of fellowship. Galatians 5:4 has been misunderstood by many. The phrase fallen from grace refers to being out of harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ and being under the control of the old sin nature. The old sin nature is the nature we got from Adam, passed down from daddy to daddy, to every human being, save one. The Lord Jesus Christ, who had no physical father. And that's why the virgin birth is so important. He had no sin nature, and as such, he started out perfect and remained so throughout his life. So Galatians 5:4-6, you've been severed from Christ. You are seeking to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. So when it's severed from Christ, it's severed from fellowship. You are seeking to be justified by the law. Guys, the law didn't work for the Old Testament saints, and it was proven. Even Peter stood up and said, we couldn't keep the law. Paul stood up and said, we can't keep the law, we who were Hebrews, Jews, Pharisees of Pharisees in the case of Paul. Couldn't keep the law. He admitted that he coveted. So he was doomed without Christ. What we're talking about here is post-salvation. You're out of fellowship. You're severed from the fellowship with Christ until you, 1 John 1:9, get back into fellowship and are filled with the Holy Spirit, restoring said fellowship. And again, you can't be unsaved and saved after you've been saved. It doesn't work that way. It's not a revolving door. So going back to the essence of God, if our God cannot change who and what he is, he's always truthful, veracity. Everything he says we can take to the bank and stop sweating the load on this eternal security idea. Can I lose my salvation if I do something wrong? Will I displease God? Now I'm in trouble. Well, if you sin, God's going to discipline you because you're his family member. And just like a good dad would, who has a sin nature, he corrects his children so that they straighten up and fly right, as my dad used to say. Guys, why would our Father do anything different? So it's discipline we're talking about here, not eternal damnation. And we get back into fellowship because we finally catch a clue, and God restores us to fellowship, and it's good. That prodigal son, when he finally, came to his senses, what did the father do when he got there? He hung on his neck and kissed him, killed the fatted calf, and celebrated that his son had finally figured it out. Oop, sorry. God gives without any strings attached. The gift is totally dependent upon him and his character. He is sovereign. He made the decision to give. He's righteous. His righteousness is perfect. Therefore, it's a fair system. He is justice. He cannot be unfair in this gift. love. He has tender regard for mankind, the lost and the saved. He's not willing that any should die, but provided the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life, what he gives is permanent. Omnipotent, he has the power to make it stand. Omniscient, he has the wisdom to provide a perfect plan. He's immutable, he can never withdraw this perfect system. Once given, he cannot retract it. The old law, they had a problem in the book of Esther. Do we recall what that was? Under their law, the Persian law, once the, I'll call him king, but he had a different title, right? Put his stamp on a law he made, even he couldn't change the law. Again, human example of what we're talking about in God's sense, if he's immutable, he cannot retract it. And veracity, he'll never not tell the truth. And you can take that to the bank, as the phrase goes, not to be irreverent. Grace makes us alive. By grace, you are saved. Ephesians 2:4, God is rich in mercy. 5, though dead, grace makes you alive. Even when we're dead in the sphere of our transgressions, and I'm going to try the Greek on this, I normally don't do this when I'm actually up here teaching because I get tongue-tied. But that's parapetemasin. And I'm not quite sure of that tense, but it says, he loved, we are so unlovely, hath he quickened, aorist active indicative of sune, oisen, that's a tongue twister, to make alive. And it literally means he took what was dead and unlovely and resuscitated it, made it alive. And that is one magnificent word that I can't say in front of the stage. I did pretty good at home. Putting it all together still, soon, son, with or along with, and Zoe, which is life. I think you've heard that phrase used once or twice around here, right? Poie, to do or to make. To make alive along with others. 1 John 5:11 and 12, God does the same thing for every individual who will believe. And this is the record or witness that God gave eternal life, and this life is in his Son. The one having the Son has life. The one having not the Son does not have life. Clear cut, two groups of people, that's all. Sin imputed. After the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father is now able in his own immutable self. His righteousness and justice have been satisfied, and through his grace expresses love for us in countless ways during our lifetime. This is the being saved in life. We were saved, we will be saved, but we are being saved in life. Now, does that mean we lose or gain our salvation? Obviously not. We just spent 35 minutes on that, right? It's talking about the victorious life we can have. Our happiness is not contingent upon our circumstances. We can have the confidence that nothing we can say, do, or become part of will separate us permanently from the love of God, which is our salvation, and that his love for us a giving and unrestricted because our formal condemnation has been removed. It was paid for on the cross completely and entirely. One death took care of it all. Our penalty has been paid. God's righteousness and justice have been satisfied. And we are in Christ and share that love that the Father has for his own Son because we are in Christ. Mastery of the Bible's teaching about grace is the most important goal to the Christian way of life. Our productivity as a believer, your ability to function effectively as a member of our local church, our effectiveness in the use of our spiritual gifts in reaching out to others, are absolutely dependent on how well we understand and use grace principles. The following are some of the reasons why the subject of grace is so important to every Christian. And grace makes alive, Ephesians 2, 4, and 5. Talk about mercy and grace. Grace is the most important single concept in the Word of God. 2, salvation is by grace through faith. The love of God didn't save us. His grace, through faith, and the Christian way of life functions entirely on grace principles. Grace provides the foundational structure for all Bible study. And that's basically our book of Ephesians, okay, the whole book, front to end. Knowledge of grace principles gives believers great knowledge and confidence in God's plan, his provisions, and his blessings. A couple more points. The biblical subject of grace gives believers confidence in witnessing, teaching, both for evangelism and in the Christian way of life. Our Sunday morning services typically don't directly give the salvation plan, but what are we doing in here on Sunday then? We are being equipped to go out and be able to deliver said plan to those we come into contact in our sphere of influence. Grace gives Christians insight into workings of society, which is not in agreement, we'll say, with God's will, plan, and purpose for their lives, right? But perfectly inside his plan for history, because he's in control of it, and God's actual intentions regarding the future. Nothing will deviate from that plan because grace is the way he established it in eternity past before he even turned anything on. Grace convinces believers that human righteousness is completely out of the picture. Grace convinces believers that human righteousness is completely out of the picture. Doesn't matter how good I am. Doesn't earn me any merit with God. The only reason I have any claim on God is because I'm in Christ. He loves Christ. And we're done. All right, 7, convinces believers that human righteousness is completely out of picture. Through grace, believers become conduits of grace to society. I had a boss recently say, one worker can affect the jobs of many. And that can be taken to the positive or to the negative. But I think this point 7 means we're supposed to be helping those in society we come in contact with through application of grace principles, giving them the gospel, and living a God-honoring life so that they get to experience what that is like through us. Families become grace families. Oh, wow. You mean my church family could actually be closer to me than my relatives? Churches become grace churches, centers of grace influence. Can we do that at this church? Should we do that, and are we doing that? So going back to one of the slides that we started with, these are all the things the Holy Spirit does for us. We had no hand in it. We actually had no choice in it, really. He did all this work. We can't undo this work. Why don't we just accept it and enjoy it? The notable exception is still the filling of the Holy Spirit. Very clearly, that is losable, but it's regainable if we just fall in line with God's plan, 1 John 1:9. One final thought before we break. Why are we not celebrating daily our grace gift? And that probably should be in the plural, because there was a whole bunch of things on the previous slide. And what is your gift? Spiritual gift, if you want to go that way. We don't concentrate on that too much here, but wait a minute. You might have more than one gift. And your gift might be nothing more than praying for the pastor. That might be your gift. If you're stuck at home, can't come to church, but you can fellowship online, and but you take it upon yourself to make sure that you pray for that pastor daily, oh my goodness, what a difference that makes. So, where is the joy of our salvation? And given it is not up to us, and nothing in this or any world can stop it, I close with this verse. Paul said, and I learned this in King James Version, so I'm going to try not to mess up as I close with this. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I submit to you, did he leave anything out? Okay? And those principalities and powers is talking about all of Satan's folk. Right? So they can't do it, and nor any other created thing. What am I? I'm a created thing. According to that verse, I can't unsave me. And it is, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, in summary, is a doctrine of eternal security for now. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for so wonderful a grace plan. We love the fact that your attributes are what they are, and we can understand them because you've made them intelligent to us through your scripture. We also thank you that we can have the confidence, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, that if we will submit ourselves to the leading of your Holy Spirit, that we can be victorious in this life, and our happiness is not dependent on our circumstances, but our faith and trust in you, which should be supreme. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen.